Samstam vijnana sannyasa. Parama trivara. चित्तं शय वासुदेव भगवते आत्मा भवं द्विधं गता कपाच सिमम्यवाचम् धर्मां पृच्छत सतमा कृष्णानुभवा श्रवणे श्रदाधनो महामन पप्राच सिमम्यवाचम् पृच्छत सतमा कृष्णानुभव श्रवणे श्रदाधनो महामन पप्राच सिमम्यवाचम् कृष्णानुभाव श्रवणे श्रदाधनो महामन मारुति Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O great sages, the great soul Maharaj Parikshit, constantly wrapped in thought of Krishna, known well of his imminent death, renounced all sorts of fruitive activities, namely acts of religion, economic development and sense gratification, and thus fixed himself in his natural love for Krishna, and asks all these questions exactly as you are asking them. Purport? The three activities of religion, economic development, and sense gratification are generally attractive for conditioned souls struggling for existence in the material world. Such regulated activities prescribed in the Vedas are called karmakandya, conception of life, and householders are generally recommended to follow the rules just to enjoy material prosperity, both in this life and in the next. Most people are attracted by such activities. Even the activities of their modern godless civilization, people are more concerned with economic development and sense gratification without any religious sentiments. As the great emperor of the world, Maharaj Parikshit had to observe such regulations of the Vedic Karmakandiya section. But by his slight association with Sukadeva Goswami, he could perfectly understand that Lord Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, for whom he had a natural love since his birth, is everything. And thus he fixed his mind firmly upon him, renouncing all modes of Vedic Karmakandiya activities. This perfectional stage is attained by a jnani after many, many births. The jnanis or the empiric philosophers endeavoring for liberation are thousands of times better than the fruitive workers. And out of hundreds of thousands of such jnanis, one is a liberated faction. And out of hundreds of thousands of such liberated persons, even one person is really found who can firmly fix his mind onto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, as declared by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Maharaj Parikshit is specially qualified with the word Mahamanaha, which puts him on the equal level with the Mahatmas. described in the Bhagavad Gita. In the later age also there have been many Mahatmas of this type, and they also gave up all karmakandiya conceptions of life, solely and wholly dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna himself, taught us in his Shastastika 8. Aslishyava padaratam pinastumam adarshan marma hatum karuteva yata tatava virada tulampato matrana natastu saivanapaha. Lord Krishna, who is the love of many devotees, women, may embrace his fully surrendered maidservant, or may trample me with his feet, or he may render me brokenhearted by not being present before me for a long duration of time. But still he is nothing less than the absolute Lord of my heart. Srila Rupa Goswami spoke thus. Virachaya maidandam dinabando dayamiva katiryana vata kashchidanya mamasi nipatatu sata koti nirbaram vanavamba tarapi kila payoda suyate chatakina. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment, but in this world I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chataka board always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbolt. Srila Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, took leave of all karmakandiya obligations in the following words. Sanja vadana bhadram astu bhavato bhoshnana tubhyam namo bhodheva pitarascha tarpana vidau naham kashama shamyatam yatra kwai nishada yadava kulo tamasya kamsa dusha smaram smaram agam harami tadalam manyekim anyemi. O my evening prayer, all good unto you. O morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions to sins, simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me, so what is the use of further endeavors? Srila Madhavendra Puri said further, Mugdhamam nigadantu niti nipuna brantam muhur vaidika mandam bhandava sanchaya jadadiyam muktadhara sodara unmatam danino vike chatura kamam mahadambikam muktum nashamapte managapi managovinda padashriham. Let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in the Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad, and the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I be unable to do it. And also Prahlad Maharaj said, Dharmartha kama itiyo bihitas trivarga iksha trai nayadamo vivida chavarta manyeta deta dakilam nigamasya satam swatmarpanam swasudridam pumamasya pumsa paramasya pumsa. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification are celebrated as three means of attaining the path of salvation. Of these, iksha trai, especially That is knowledge of the self, knowledge of fruitive acts and logics, and also politics and economics, are different means of livelihood. All these are different subjects of Vedic education, and therefore I consider them temporary engagements. On the other hand, surrendering unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu is a factual gain in life, and I consider it the ultimate truth. Bhagavatam 7:6:26. The whole matter is concluded in the Bhagavad Gita 2:41 as Vyavyasa Atmika Bhudi, or the absolute path of perfection. Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushanam, a great Vaishnava scholar, defines this as Bhagavat Achana Archana Rupaika Nishkama Kama Bir Vishuddha Chitta, accepting transcendental love and service to the Lord as the prime duty, free from fruitive reaction. So Maharaj Parikshit was perfectly right when he formally accepted the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, renouncing all karmakandiya conceptions of life. Om Agyana Termanasya Gananjana Shalakaya Sakshamantamya Natasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutvishnu Atibhaktivyanta Swami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the Bhagavatam is telling us here that Maharaj Parikshit, he gave up all the activities he was practicing, religion, sense gratification, economic development. Within the Varnashram system, these activities are prevalent, or they're being propagated as the goal of human life. They are called the Purusharthas. The four Purusharthas are Dharma, which is considered religious principles, Artha, economic development, Kama, sense gratification, and Moksha, ultimately liberation. And all of these are, within the different ages, been practiced by time and circumstance. For example, the Dharma in Dwapara Yuga was different from the Dharma in Treta Yuga. And then the Dharma in Treta Yuga different from that of Kali Yuga. Similarly, the means of economic development also, Artha, would be different in these ages. And Kama, self-gratification, and Moksha also, the ultimate liberation. It's been practiced differently. Some people practice Moksha as merging into the Supreme. Some practice it as going to the heavenly realm or the higher planetary system. Some go into the Vaikuntha planet, and so many different aspects. But these were being practiced during the Varnashram age. But the devotees usually practice to go back to Godhead, spiritual world. So these activities, they are fundamental for human progress, so to speak. Economic development is essential. We cannot deny that. Sense gratification is essential, and also ultimately liberation or going back to Godhead. But over the ages, these have been diluted. Like for example, in Kali Yuga, most people are practicing economic development and sense gratification. Mostly. Very little bit of religiosity. See? But mostly economic development and sense gratification. The devotees also have to practice these goals to some extent. But Srila Prabhupada says, he says here, as long as the body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. A bhakti yogi does not arouse the senses while meeting the needs of the body. So this is the fundamental difference between the devotees and the non-devotees. The devotees are also meeting his needs. He's also engaging in economic development. He's engaging the senses. But Srila Prabhupada says he's not arousing the senses. In other words, he's not getting implicated in the laws of karma, reaction and reaction. Well, hopefully to some extent. Yeah, but so these activities have been given up by Maharaj Parikshit. That's what the verse is saying. That he gave them up easily. In fact, being emperor of the world, he had to propagate these activities. Being the emperor of the world, Maharaj Parikshit had to propagate these four activities of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. An emperor of the world means the whole world. See, all over the world, these were being practiced. In fact, before the other religions, it was Vedic Dharma or the Varnashram Dharma that predominated the world, the whole world, the whole earth. Actually, from the time Varnashram was established, but even before that, in Satyuga also, the whole world were practicing meditation. But within Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga and Varnashram were established, it was established within the whole world, not only Bharatvarsha. Because most of the emperors within Bharatvarsha were emperors of the whole world. Until the time of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was the last great emperor of the world. He was the last great outstanding emperor. His sons, Janamejaya and the rest, I guess they were also world emperor to some degree. But Maharaj Parikshit was the last great standing world emperor. And Varnashram Dharma was all over the world. And then gradually, we have like Christianity would spring up and the other religions like Christianity, then Buddhism, and Islam. But these are called Kali Yuga religions. And this is an easy way to even defeat the proponents of the other religious principles, because Christianity, Buddhism and Islam, they would only exist in Kali Yuga. As soon as Kali Yuga finished, they're finished. And then Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Vedic Dharma continues. And then those religions come back again. So that's an easy way to show the Christians and so forth how they're been practicing a temporary religion. So anyhow, Vedic Dharma was being propagated and was practiced by Parikshit. But as soon as he got the news that he will die in 7 days, he gave these up. He gave these activities up. But now, if people hear, I have to die within a short time, what they do? They try to get the best hospital and the best doctor, right? It states that the government spend more time in people's health in the last phase of their life than their whole life. Maybe just to keep them on life support for even a few days or something. You see? And the reason is because the process, this Bhagavad Dharma, is not being taught in the world. See? If it was taught in the world, then people would have accepted death as being part of life. You see? And not get too much caught up with it. I mean, of course, it's difficult to say, you know. Let me say, you know, if I'll die within, you know, the next month or something. You know, you definitely want to try to get the best care as possible, but also you have the other side, and that is, you try to focus more on Krishna and depend more on Krishna. Like daily we are hearing so many devotees are giving up their bodies and dying. And so this is part of the practice. You know, I mean, these things are, death is coming, and so we have to prepare. Even though we're seeking, you know, some remedy at the side, but we're not focusing wholly on that. I'm just trying to prolong life for maybe a month more, 2 months more, unnecessarily. You see? But in the world at large, it's stated that the government spends so much more on the last phase of people's life than throughout their whole life, lifetime. You see? And this is because of the lack of understanding of the real purpose of life. And so this has taken place. So then Srila Prabhupada writes within the purport that because Maharaj Parikshit's association with the Mahabhagavata, Sukadev Goswami, he was able to give up these things easily. And then Srila Prabhupada explains that he is so many times more better than the Gyanis and the Karmis. So many times more better than the Gyanis and the Karmis. He says that Bahunam Janmam Ante Gyatamad Papadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sukhulabha. After many, many births and deaths, he was actually in knowledge, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes. And all that is, such a great soul is very, very rare. So Srila Prabhupada says that the Gyani is thousands of times better than the Karmis. But the Bhakta, or the devotee, is thousands of times better than the Gyanis. See? And so this is how powerful is the Bhakta or the devotee. And as it's stated, sometimes we hear follow the sciences, but for us, follow the sciences enunciated by the Mahajanas. Mahajana yena gata sapanta. See? One should follow the path advocated by the Mahajanas. And they give the science of God consciousness. And so we have to try to follow their path. And when Yamaraj was speaking to his Yamadutas, he says, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahalado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasakir Fire. He says all these great personalities, Narad Muni, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, Swayambhuva Manu, Prahalad, Janak Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, and Vyasakir, Sukadev Goswami. And I myself means Yamaraj. I myself know the real religious principles. See? When Yudhishthira was asked where religious principle lies, he says, it lies in the bosom of the Mahajanas, the pure devotees. That's where your religious principles lie. Then Lord Krishna says, Mamu Petya Punar Janma Dukalama Shashvatam Na Punvanti Mahamana Samsidam Paramam Gata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. So the great souls, the Mahajans, they have attained the supreme destination and they will not return to this material world of miseries, birth, disease, old age and death perpetually. This is the purpose of our life. And Srila Prabhupada, he quotes many, he says the later Mahajans. And he says, Lord Chaitanya, Prahalad Maharaj, Rupa Goswami, and who was the other one? Madhavendra Pool. So he says, for Lord Chaitanya says, Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinastu Man, Adarshanam Marma Hatam Karotuva Yatatatava Vidda Hatu Lampato Matprana Natastusa Evan Napara. Lord Krishna, who is the love of many devotees, may embrace this fully surrendered maid servant, or may trample me with his feet, or he may render me brokenhearted by not being present before me for a long duration of time. But still he is nothing less than the absolute Lord of my heart. And then he even went on to say, I do not want wealth, I do not want beautiful woman, I don't want great number of followers. I just want to render devotional service to you, birth after birth. See? That was Lord Chaitanya. Showing the path that a devotee must take. And then Rupa Goswami says, Virachaya mai dandam dina bandhu dayameva gatiryava bhavata kaschid anya mamasti. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chataka board always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rain or throws a thunderbolt. Whether it showers rain or throws a thunderbolt, but the Chataka board is waiting for the cloud. So similarly, the devotee is waiting for the mercy. And Parikshit Maharaj, when he was going to die in 7 days, he just accepted it. He just accepted the path. See? So whether the Lord wants to kill him or save him, he would accept that. See? And then Madhavendra Puri prays, Sanya Vandana Bhadram Ashtu Bhavato Bo Snana Tubhyam Namo. O my evening prayer, all good unto you. O my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. So all these practices were happening during the Varnashram era. See, the one used to, well, he says, one does his evening prayer, one usually have to pray to the sun god and so forth. They take the morning bath early, they usually go to the Ganges, whether it's cold or hot. And then they usually have to pray to the forefathers. Pray to the forefathers and give what they used to give to the forefathers?
Oblations.
Oblations. Huh? Yeah, but there's a special name.
Tarpa.
Yeah. So this is being done even by Madhavendra Puri here, but he's saying, hey now, oh my evening prayer, oh good unto you. Oh my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. Oh demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. So it's stated that we are all obligated to the demigods and the forefathers. But one who surrenders to Krishna, then he is no longer obligated to anyone. He is no longer obligated to the forefathers, to the demigods, to anyone else. See? Everyone is being taken care of. That's how it's stated. And then he even went on to say, Mugdhammam Nigadantu Niti Nipuna Brantam Muhur Vaidika. Let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusion. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad, and the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I be unable to do it. See? Let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusion. So when one takes the serious devotional service, sometimes he is being criticized by so many people. See? The moralists, even his brothers, the fools, the wealthy Mammonites, what is stated? One cannot serve God and Mammon. See what that means? You cannot serve God and wealth, right? That's me. So he said the wealthy Mammonites may criticize him, but still, he does not care. He says here, my brothers may call me a fool. Like recently, two, three days, I wrote something on Facebook. I said, time wears away everything unnoticed. Just like an unbaked pot placed in water disappears imperceptibly. I said, every day the sun sets, a day is gone, gone forever, never to be seen again. Therefore, we should use our time wisely and develop love for God. So I put that on Facebook, and my sister immediately replied. She was mad. She started to say different, you know, maybe she thought I was hinting at her or being, you know, but I was just trying to encourage people to not waste time, you know. But right away, you know, she wrote back, you know, this, you know, you think that you're great or something and this and that, but you don't know what other people are going, you know, like that. But my intention was simply to remind people not to waste time, you know, try to take up devotion to God, see? So here, Madhavendra Puri is saying, my brother may call me a fool. And sometimes those that are closest to you, those are the one gets more difficult on your keys. For example, when we do Harinam, like on the street, another sister saw that, you know, and she's got mad with me. You dance in the street like a madman. You see, imagine that, you know, like, so those that are closest to you, then they can hit you the hardest. You know, they can hit you the hardest, really. See? So Madhavendra Puri says, it does not matter. My mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I be unable to do it. Even if it's difficult, you see. And then Prahlad Maharaj, in the last part, he sums up the whole thing again. He says, religion, economic development, and sense gratification are celebrated as three means of attaining the path of salvation. Of these, ikshatrayi, especially knowledge of the self, knowledge of fruitive acts and logic, and also politics and economics, are different means of livelihood. All these are different subjects of Vedic education, and therefore I consider them temporary engagements. On the other hand, surrendering unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu is a factual gain in life, and I consider it the ultimate truth. I consider this the ultimate truth. And we saw what Prahlad Maharaj went through in life. See? We saw, despite what Hiranyakashipu did with him, he did not give up the names of Vishnu. He was thrown off a cliff, trampled by elephant, thrown into boiling oil, so many different things. But he did not give up the service of Vishnu. So similarly, whatever people may say, families may say, you know, we should not give up the service of Krishna. And but we should also try to cooperate more to push on Srila Prabhupada movement. And something came to me in mind. It was a principle being practiced by Varnashram, but that is, like devotees when they retire, let us say that a devotee retires at 62 or 65, if they retire at that time and they give that time solid service to Srila Prabhupada movement, from say 62 to 75, you know how much we can accomplish in devotional service? Devotees give from 62 to age 75. After 75, a devotee is slowing down a little bit, you know, he's not as vibrant as. But if we give that solid service to Prabhupada mission, imagine how much we could accomplish. The Mormon, they give like 2 years of service. The Mormons usually give, I think, from 18 to 20. They give 2 years of service, all the Mormons. And they push on their faith. So similarly, I mean, devotees, they're serving throughout, but if we give solid service through that time, there's so much we can accomplish in this movement. We can spread Krishna consciousness like wildfire within the world. See? It's possible. It's very possible. Right, Gadagaj? I would consider you maybe 70 really, so you got a solid 5 years more. So I'll conclude here. So Parikshit, he gave up all his things and he surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. And he did not turn back. See? Whatever anyone says, that's their business. I'm going to surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So I'll stop here if there's any comment or any correction or any additions or any chastisements. Okay. Yes. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Do we actually give up our service, you know, like you said, 5 years, maybe 10 years, I think our service kind of changes as we get older, and you know, we don't really give up the service, it seems. It seems like we might change the physical aspect of the service, but the service goes on.
Definitely. Service is always dear. Throughout our life we render in service, you know, but sometimes during the grihastha phase in our life, things slow down a lot there, because usually a lot of people, you know, their dedication is to for stability of the family. I mean, they're still rendering some kind of little service. But let us say, but by the time they retire and they get their retirement and everything, then they have some more time there. There's some more solid time there to put into the movement, to push the movement, you see. But our basic service, say we're doing deity service and so forth, you know, I mean, that's still there, but maybe I was even thinking, like a lot of the grihasthas jump into like a phase of like a vanaprastha state somewhat. Maybe if they officially don't even want to take it, but it's like a hidden vanaprastha state, you know, and they put some great effort there, we can do a lot. But it's something to think about, you know. Yes, Mataji.
Regarding the chataka bird.
The chataka, yes.
Yeah, it states there that even a thunderbolt, what to mention rain, he just waits for the cloud to appear.
Yeah.
So that's like always seeing everything as Krishna's mercy.
Yeah.
And feeling his shelter in any situation.
Yeah, he would only drink from the rain, you know. And if there's lightning too, lightning is very dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, like the other day we were chanting in High Springs, and then the rain came, you know, and then they were stunned on different things. And we just went under like there was a little shelter, mm-hmm. and we were chanting, and then we came out back. It started raining again, we chanted a little bit, we went back, came out back, it started raining again, we went, you know, but the point is, even despite it was raining, we still took some shelter and still keep chanting, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, so yes, the chataka board is determined to get the raindrops, really, and Madhavendra Puri is stating that likewise we have to be determined to be at the lotus feet of the Lord, and if in our service, you know, difficult times, light times, sickness. Oh, and one little point, really, since you bring that up, Srila Prabhupada says here that a devotee is not callous towards an accident or diseases or scarcity or even death of a loved one. This never deviates him from his duty. See? So that was a nice point there, and, you know, Srila Prabhupada explain it so nicely to you. Yes, Prabhu?
No, there was some in the purport, or you said that the jnanis are thousands of times better than
the karmis.
Then the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, sama sarveshu bhuteshu, that a pandit, a learned person, sees everyone equally. So how come, what can you explain how they're...
Seeing different things equally, that is only a part realization there. That's not like love of God, having love of God. I mean, that's seeing the dog eater, the elephant, the sudra, whatever, as one, or see the jiva within them, that's a partial realization. The real realization is attaining pure love for God, you know. And so the bhakta, that is where the bhakta is situated. You know, the bhakta also has that knowledge, you know, of that. The jnanis, they are at a certain level, but they still have some more ways to go, see. And the karmis, you know, they still have a lot of ways to go, the jnanis. Than the bhaktas. You had a question, Prabhu? Oh, you sure? You can vouch it, there's not too many people. So God's going to straighten up things here now. Yeah.
So Punarik said, hi, Mo. So Punarik said, about the equal, that means they're all spirit souls, right? But what he's saying is, typically I'm saying
that's a realization there,
the bodies,
but that's not
the bodies, like the jnani or the, it's better because of the body, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Right?
Yes, Ganesh. Okay, Prabhu, thank you all for being patient. And Srimad Bhagavatam ki.